Anybody seen any breakthroughs in your life spiritually in these last few weeks? God is, you know, I have found, if anything, Lord God, I just want to be closer to Him. Amen. How many of you know when you're closer to Him, then all of those other things, God begins to do greater works in your life. So we started this year, 2025, wanting to start out on the right foot. And so we had our key verse that we've been going through is out of Matthew 6:33, seek first, what? His kingdom and His righteousness. And then He says all of these other things will be given to you as well. And we know that if you read the verses previous to that, it's like, you know, don't worry about food, what you will wear, what you will drink. Basically, just the cares of this world that we get caught up in. Oh, God, I need this. And oh, God, I need that. And we start a pursuit towards those things. But Jesus is saying, listen, all of those things are real issue. How many of you know, food is important, right? Water, drink is important, having a place to live, all of those things are important, but nothing is more important than putting God first in your life. Amen? And He says, if you will put Me first, then I will take care of all those other things that you're so worried and worked up about. Amen? And so Jesus' expectation is that we would live our life like when you give your life to Christ, how many of you know your focus has to change? We've got to begin to change. Here's the thing about prayer. Prayer, it should be our first response in all situations, not our last resort. Sometimes people have this attitude, well, you know what? I tried this and I tried that. If all else fails, I guess I could pray. Right? I guess I could seek after God. How many of you realize we got to switch it up in our life? We got to switch that up and say, God, no, I'm going to put You first. I know maybe you get a bill in the mail and it's like, oh no, I don't have the money for this. Maybe you don't have enough for the groceries or whatever. And it's like, oh no, I got, and you start thinking of all the things that you got to do. And worry comes on your life and it begins to settle on you. And it's like, if we can switch it up and say, okay, God, here's this bill here. I don't have this. I don't have that. But God, I'm going to seek You first. I'm going to put You first, and if you will do that, can I just say, if you will learn to live a lifestyle of putting God first, I believe that this could be your best spiritual year ever. Amen? Amen. Like, if you have your best spiritual year ever, how many of you know you're going to have your best year ever? And you know, you may think back, well, when I was younger, life was a lot easier because I didn't have all the aches and pains and all those other things. I didn't have kids. Some of you know life was easier before kids. Right, but it's not really about that. It's about God. I can, you know, if you're 100 years old, you can still have your best year ever. Amen. Amen. It's not about age. It's not about how your body feels. It's about who you put first in your life. Amen. So listen, I want to give you a message today, and I really believe, if you will grab hold of this, it could really be life-changing. And some of you guys may be familiar that I'm going to be talking about the prayer of Jabez. Some of you guys have been around the church for a while. Does anybody remember when the book, The Prayer of Jabez, came out? How many of you guys actually read it? All right, several hands. Let me make you feel old. Do you realize that book came out 25 years ago? You're like, oh my goodness. Time flies, right? Well, I want to talk about it, and maybe for some of you guys, it might be a refresher on this prayer, but it's a powerful thing, and it's actually found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and hopefully you're reading through your Bible. Anybody ever start reading through your Bible, and you get to the part where so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat, and you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so boring, right? And you just kind of start scanning it. And it's like, here's, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I scan, that's too many names. Like, I don't, you know, Billy Bob begat whoever, and I'm trying to remember that. But occasionally when you're reading it, there's different names that will pop out. There's something significant about it. And it's so easy to begin to, you know, look at all those names that one of those numbers, you know, how is that person significant? How is that person? And sometimes we begin to look at our life, especially when you think about our world. And this morning, I looked what the world population is this morning, and sometime today we are going to cross the 8,201,000,000 mark of how many of the population on the world today. How many of you think about that? 8,201,000,000 people on the planet right now. And if we start thinking about, we might wonder, like, how in the world do I matter? How does my life matter? What is it? And you can start feeling kind of small, but I think about Jabez in the midst of all of those names, somehow he learned to be significant and stand out. To where somebody, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later wrote a book about his prayer. Like, he's just praying this prayer. Did he even know it was going to end up in Scripture? And he had no idea that thousands of years later, people would be talking about that prayer that he prayed. That's that significant. And so I want to look at how it begins. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That's a good thing. All right, how many of you know that's a good thing to be said? But then it says, his mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Right? How many of you know that's not a good thing? Right? Like, if you're thinking about, well, what name should, you know, I know a couple of people, should I use the name Jabez for my kid, for my grandkid? I want to tell you, don't use the name Jabez, because in Hebrew, it's actually, it's kind of a play on words. His name doesn't actually mean pain, but it sounds like pain. That's the thing. How many of you know okay, I got to say this slow, but it's a homophone. How many of you know? I may not be saying it right. It's like a word that sounds like another word, but they're spelt different. Like, there's a flower plant that grows up, but there's also flour that you use to make bread, right? So both of those, you can hear it, flour. Well, what do you mean flour? And or like bass guitar or, no, that would be different. Anyway, I was thinking of a bass. That's a different one right there. I'm not that great on, that was, it's been too many years since English. But here's the thing, Jabez's name, when people heard it, it sounded like pain. It sounded like sorrow. It sounded like the Hebrew name. So she tweaked it just a little bit. And so if you were saying that in English, like, if instead of naming your child pain, which maybe some of you guys have thought about before, right? You wouldn't spell it P-A-I-N. You could spell it P-A-Y-N-E. Right? And I would just recommend not doing that, because if you go the old English, that word pain right there means you were a pagan worshiper. So don't use that. There's names that mean stuff. So I would encourage you, before you name your children, find out what that name means, right? But, you know, so if you named him that, it's like, hey, pain. You know, what is that? Sounds just like pain. Or you could have done it P-A-N-E, which is a window pane, right? Like, are you calling your son a pane of glass? Or this one right here, P-A-I-N-E. Does anybody know who a famous person that had that last name?
Michael.
Who?
Michael Payne.
Michael, who is that?
Thomas Paine.
Yeah, Thomas Paine. That's what I was thinking. Who's Michael Payne?
He's an actor.
Okay, well, tells you. So yeah, Thomas Paine was one of our founding fathers. A lot of people have that name. But here's the thing. Can you imagine the trauma of a kid and like, well, I didn't name you Payne. I made you Payne. Right? Or I named you Payne. And it's like, but you know what? When you're a kid, especially in elementary school or junior high, and they say, hey, Payne, come over here. Right? Hey, you're such a pain. You're a pain on another part of my body, right? And let me tell you, there's going to be a trauma that child's going to go through because of that name. And anytime he's ever referenced or called, come here, Payne. All right, enemy. It's like you begin to carry that label on you. And I think that's the challenge that we've got to think about. Like, what is the label that I'm carrying on my life? Because the enemy wants to label you something, doesn't he? Like, if you made a mistake, especially if it's a big mistake, then the enemy wants to say, well, that's who you are. That's who you are. You're going to carry that label for the rest of your life. And a lot of times we kind of embrace it. Because other people repeat it to us. Oh, yeah, you're this. Oh, yeah, you're that. And we hang on to things that maybe it was a failure. Maybe it was a past mistake. Maybe it's a temptation that you have in your life. And we start taking it as our identity. How many of you know, I just spent 14 weeks going through Romans that really tells you who your identity is. Our identity is what? We are sons and daughters of what? The high living God. Amen. We are His children. That's our identity. And so we have to like face those labels that we have, just like Jabez. There had to come a point in Jabez's life where he says, okay, I'm going to deal with this thing. This, you know, you guys keep calling me pain. I'm going to deal with it. And he had to take it to God. And that's the reality, is that when you face pain in your life, you know what the solution to that is? Is that we've got to go to God in prayer. Right, if you're facing a pain in your life physically in your body, you know, instead of in the middle of the night waking up, oh my knee, like, oh God, my knee's hurting, I'm bringing that to you, God. If you're facing pain in maybe in a relationship, right? How many of you know there's whether it's, you know, marriages, friendships, parent, son, whatever. Sometimes there's pain in that, and we can complain about it. Nobody complains about their relatives, do they? Right. Okay, good. Nobody here. It's all those other people that do that. And nobody else wanted to raise your hand because they're sitting next to you, right? No, I'm just kidding. So we have these pains sometimes, and it's like, instead of complaining and getting down and woe is me, what do we need to do? We need to take it to the Lord in prayer. Right? If you're suffering like mental pain, anguish, anxiety, depression, how many of you know depression is pain? Right? Anxiety is pain. And that's a hard thing to get past. What do? We should allow the pain in our life to drive us to God. Amen? Not to despair. A lot of times we allow pain to drive us to despair. We got to let it, the hurt in our life, to take us to God. Like, God, I'm dealing with this. I love this verse, and I've shared it with you guys several times out of the Message, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. And I just love how the Message words it. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, what do?
Pray.
And I like it. Let petitions and praise shape your worries, or let me just say your hurts, your fears, all the things that we go through. Let it shape it into prayer. So that when you're going through something, it's like, oh God, I'm going through this. This is hard. This is difficult. I want to lift it to you. You begin to take it to God on a regular basis. And I love what it says. It says, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for the good, will come and like settle down on you. You know what that means? It means that other stuff that settled down on you is going to have to lift off of you, and then God's peace will become settling down. Amen? It says it's wonderful what happened when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So when you go through pain, friends, you need to take it to God. And I think somehow Jabez knew this, because he was carrying the pain of his name and what was over his life. Somehow he knew this Psalms 147 before it was ever written. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. How does God do that? He doesn't do that until we come to him. And so we got to learn to begin to come to him. So I don't know what pain is in your life, but I challenge you to allow your pain to drive you to God. Amen. Let it take you to God. So let's continue with this this prayer of Jabez. It said his mother named him that. I gave birth to him in pain. And then verse 10, it says Jabez did what?
Cried out.
Right? How many of you know if it's saying you're crying out your prayer, that's not a, I'm just going to pray. No, it's an intense, isn't it? And we kind of talked about this last week. That's a passionate prayer, not a dignified prayer. Amen. We need some passionate prayer and all. And he cried out to God. Oh, and here's four things that we're going to talk about. Oh, that you would bless me and you would enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. I love that. So that I will be free from what?
Pain.
Isn't that his name? Somebody said in the first service, he'll be free from his name. Right? And I thought that was good, because that's what's on him. And it says, and God granted his request. I don't know about you, but I want to pray prayers where God grants the request. Amen. That's the kind of prayers that I want to pray. So we're going to cover these four areas. And let me just challenge you. These are things that you can pray over your life every day if you want. Amen. The first one is this. Prayer number one. Oh, that you would Bless me. Right? This prayer is all about blessing. What is blessing anyway? Like, isn't that kind of a selfish prayer? Not at all. I think that we live in a world now, like if you went through like the 80s and 90s, how many of you guys remember the prosperity gospel? Like if you'll send me $100, I'll give you this tissue or this handkerchief that I wept over for you. Does anybody remember? That was like, there was some weird stuff up there, right? There was some, and so what happened is a lot of people like, oh man, all that prosperity stuff, let's just get rid of all of it. Let's just get rid of all of it because it's not good. Let me tell you, just because there was some abuses in it doesn't mean there wasn't some truth in there. Amen? How many of you know God does actually want to bless your life? Amen. That God is the one that started from Adam and Eve. God's desire was to bless us. Amen. And we're the ones that mess it up and make it about like, you know, bless me and let me keep everything to myself. Blessing, what is the definition of a blessing? It's supernatural favor or abundance. How many of you know God wants supernatural favor in our life? Wouldn't you guys like to have that? Don't worry about him. He's just going to set something up over here that we're going to get to in a minute. I believe that there is a wrong, twisted assumption that people have that like, oh, God just wants me poor, broke, and miserable. All right, I'm going to take a vow of poverty so that I can humble myself and get closer to God. Listen, that's not biblical. That's not what God is looking for in your life. How many of you know that's wrong thinking? God is not more pleased with us if we're broke and miserable. That's not his desire for us. And there's a lot of people that have that idea. Here's what blessing looks like. Are you ready? Blessing looks like you do your part, and guess what? God comes in and does his part. But guess what? If we don't do our part, we're not going to walk in blessing. If we don't get before him, if we don't do the things that God has asked us, we'll never see the blessings of God in our life. And the reality is sometimes we see people and man, they're good. They got it all together and they have, and you're just like, man, that person's just, they just got it all together. But what you don't realize is there's nobody that's that good. Nobody has got everything together. What we don't always see is that that's God's blessing on their life. God blesses us in ways that other people think, wow, they're just so good. Sometimes people will, you know, have commented to Colleen and I, it's like, oh man, your kids are so good. And it's like, well, you don't always see them all times, but your grandkids are so good. And I would say, you know what? They are good, but it's not because we're good. It's because of God's blessing. Amen. To the best of our ability, I can tell you that Colleen and I, we've done to the best of our ability to try to stay in alignment with God. And listen, we haven't always succeeded. Amen. We haven't always done it. And so the reality is God's blessing kicks in on that. Amen. Anything I do, I can only go so far. I'm dependent on his blessings. Amen. I'm dependent on it. I love what Psalms 5 verse 12 says. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. How many of you know God wants to surround you with his favor? Amen? Isn't that good? God, this is a good prayer to pray over yourself. This is a good prayer to pray over your kids, your grandkids, your family members, whoever it is in your life, your spouse. How many of you know that's okay to pray God's favor over your spouse? Amen? Over your health. Lord, I need over your job, whatever it is. And sometimes it's like, well, if I'm just praying, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, how is that different than the prosperity gospel that we talk about? How is that any different? And let me give you the point, and then we're going to get to this right here. Here's the truth. When you begin to pray, God, bless me, do you know what God begins to respond? He says, yes, I will bless you, but here's some changes that you need to make in your life in order for that blessing to come. Amen? Does that make sense? Here's the fill-in in your notes. Blessing follows order. The scripture says that the footsteps of the righteous are what? Ordered of the Lord. And so I got to follow the order. I've got to have my life in order for the blessings to come. So I put together this little illustration yesterday that I want to show you. So This water here, if say it represents the blessings of God, how many of you know the scripture says in Malachi, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you can't contain it. And so we read about God's blessings and we're like, maybe you hear this message today. Oh God, I just pray for your blessings. Lord, would you bless my life? Would you bless my family? And you pray that and you're asking God to do that. And you know, God wants to bless you, right? He's putting it there, but you're like, nothing's coming out. God, how come I'm not getting blessed? How come I don't have the blessings in my life that I see other people? And then God may come back with like, well, there's an issue in your life that you need to deal with. There's maybe a sin in your life. There's an attitude in your life. And you're like, okay, well, Lord, I know 1 John 1:9 says that if I will confess my sin, that you're faithful, you're just, and you will forgive me. Will he do that? Amen. Yeah, so you go and you confess that to the Lord and boom. Maybe you get a little bit of blessing there because you did repent, but you're still like, okay, God, I don't really sense your blessing. Let me just say, I didn't say it right here. This one represents your life. This is other people that experience God's blessings over here. And you see other people getting blessings, and you're wondering, how come I don't have anything in my life? Because repentance is actually twofold. It's not just, Lord, forgive me. It's not just saying, Lord, and I confess my sin. How many of you know there's adjustments that we've got to follow through with? We've got to begin to say, okay, God, and God says, okay, it's great that you repented, but are you going to change your behavior? Right, are you going to change the way you think? Are you going to change the way you do? And let me just use the one that's taboo that people like get all worked up about. How many of you know tithing is a tough issue for some people? And we talk about it and we're like, oh, you know, tithing, I don't know about that. But maybe you're praying, maybe you're struggling. You say, God, I need your blessing in my finances. And so you're praying and he's like, okay, well, you need to change. You got to begin to tithe. You need to begin to not just tithe. That's one adjustment. But how many of you know we're called to be good stewards of the things God gives us? That might mean you actually got to live on a budget. Exactly. And it's like, well, if I'm not doing the things that God told me to do, if I don't make those adjustments, I'm never going to experience his blessings. But if I will begin to do the things that God called me to do, then his blessings, hang on, are going to begin to pour into my life. So much that we won't be able to contain it. Amen. And it's not just there. How about this one? Like, how many of you guys remember when you're in school or college or something like that, you had a really tough exam and you're like, oh God, help me to pass this test. Help me to make this grade. And then the Lord comes back. Did you study? How many of you know the knowledge is not going to manifest into your head until you put your work into it. You can say, oh God, help me to remember the things that I studied that I will pass that. That's a good prayer. Maybe you're praying, you know, and maybe this looking at myself, but it's like, oh God, help me to lose weight this year. And the Lord may come back and say, put down the cheeseburger and eat a salad. Ouch. Right? I know. Hey, listen, I don't know if I even wanted to share that one, but I did it anyway. I think the point is that I'm trying to say is that, Lord, if we want the blessings of God in our life, there are some adjustments. So when you begin to pray that, it's not the prosperity thing. It's the prosperity. It's working with God and getting our life in alignment with him that his blessings can begin to flow. Amen. God's blessings always follows God's way. When we begin to put our life in line with him, that's why this Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom. That's why it's in there, because I want to put him first. I want to align my life. I want to align my marriage. I want to align my attitudes. How many of you know sometimes God just saying, you got to correct your attitude. Well, God, I don't know. Maybe you want God's blessing in your marriage. And it's like God saying, okay, I'll bless your marriage, but you got to stop being so angry. All right, you got to stop being so selfish and focus on yourself. So whatever it is, when you begin to pray God's blessing, oh God, bless me in this. I hope you got your ears open, because God's about to show you how you can walk and be blessed. And then he will pour that into your life. Amen. So how do we get it? We align ourselves, our family, finances. I believe that when our order is right, the blessings will begin to come. Amen. So the second prayer that he prays is, Lord, enlarge my territory. Like, give me more influence. And this is all about growth. How many of you know God wants to bring growth in your life? Amen. God wants to bring, why does he want that? Because he wants our influence. He wants his people to shine. Amen. The Bible says that we are like a light on a hill, right? We are shining. People should see us, and they should see Jesus. Not us hiding in a hole, barely making it. So I believe that God wants your business to grow. I believe that God wants your finances to grow. I believe that he wants our church to grow. Amen? Why? Because he wants us to have the influence over the world, not the world to have the influence over us. Right? So that's not a selfish prayer if you're praying it like, Lord, I want that increase so that I can shine you to other people. Amen? God wants growth for, and guess what? It's going to cause us to stretch. Growth always causes stretches. My grandkids, they go through growing pains. How many of you guys remember those things? Like, you're crying. It's like, don't worry, you're going to be taller in the morning. Right? You're going to stretch in the morning. Here's the thing about growth. It always pushes us outside of our comfort zone. Like, I don't know if you realize this. I got the, Colleen sent me this this little clip, and I started, and I watched the sermon on it, and so I'm only kind of just barely understanding what it is, but I don't know if you realize, in our brain, we are wired to stay in our comfort zone. You realize we don't like to step out. It's like, that's why it's called a comfort zone, because it's very comfortable. How many of you guys like being comfortable? Right? Like, if I had a really hard chair here, nobody would sit in it. It's like, no, I want one of the padded ones. We want comfort in our life. And that is how our brain says, but he says, he was telling, and it was from a doctor or whatever, there's a part of our brain that when we step outside and do things that we're not comfortable doing, when we begin to step out and do things that we don't want to do, then that part of the brain begins to get activated and it begins to grow. But if we never do that, then it will stay small. And that part of the brain is what gives us endurance, which gives us perseverance in our life and begins to really, I believe, even increase our faith. That's why I believe in James that it says, you know what, count it all joy when you face difficulties and trials of many kind. Because when you persevere through that, guess what? That part of your brain is actually growing. And you are able to begin to do more things for God than if we just sat back and like, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. Hey, does anybody want to serve in the nursery? Oh, man, I'm sure not comfortable doing that. I mean, whatever it may be, God may say, hey, listen, I want you to give this money to this person. It's like, oh, God, I don't know about that. I'm not comfortable doing that. I want to challenge you, begin to do things that are uncomfortable. Begin to step out because you will never grow until you get out of that comfort zone. You'll never grow until you start doing things that your flesh, that your body is telling you not to. No, you don't want to do that. I mean, I think about these crazy people that do polar plunges. Anybody ever done one of those? Like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. You got an active part of your brain that some of us don't have. When you do things, it's like your flesh is saying, don't do it. You're crazy to do it. Let me tell you, and I'm not talking about sin, okay? But I'm talking about stepping out and doing things. You are activating your brain to begin to grow. Amen? And God will use you in that way that he won't use somebody that says, no, I don't know about that, God. I don't know if I want to grow. If I can just have enough for me and myself and I, then I'm okay with that. No, no, no. God wants your influence to increase. And I believe that was true with Jabez. It's like, Lord, increase my territory. Lord, increase that. Begin to call me out to do different things. Think about Peter on the boat. When he stepped out of that boat into the water, let me tell you, his brain was firing on all cylinders at that moment. Like, oh God, I got to keep my eyes on him. Guess what happened to the other ones? No, I'm not stepping out on that water. Are you crazy? Who does a thing like that? And not only that, look at the storms. Let me tell you, God's going to call us to step out. God wants us to grow in all areas of our life. Amen? Amen. Let me give you the verse here out of 2 Corinthians. He says, you will be made rich in every way. How many of you know that's not just finances? A lot of times we think the blessings of God has to be finances. No, he says you will be rich in every way. That means rich in compassion, rich in mercy, rich in wisdom. How many of you know wisdom is rich? He says you're going to be rich in every way so that you can be what? Generous on all occasion. Like, it's not just about throwing somebody 20 bucks. How about sitting down and talking with them and sharing and helping them know the Lord and draw closer to him, right? In every way. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let me tell you, as you learn to stretch out, it's going to influence people to come to Christ. Amen? More than you realize. I believe that the end result is people getting saved. And sometimes we forget what the purpose of the church is. Yes, it is to be the body of Christ, but the body of Christ, Jesus actually said this, I came to seek and to save the lost, right? But he also said in another spot, as the Father has sent me, he says, I'm sending you. How many of you know we have the same mission? As the church, we are called to seek and to save the lost. And just for a fresh reminder, Freedom Church, our mission statement, it's so simple. It's to bring people that are far from God close to God as we love Jesus and we love other people faithfully. Amen? And so for us to do that, how many of you know loving other people is not always comfortable? Right, I like the people that are like me, that agree with me, that like the food that I like, and those are comfortable people. But sometimes God's going to call you to uncomfortable people. How do we do that? We've got to do it by God. We've got to allow Him to use us. And one of the things that this church was praying for before Pastor Colleen and I ever got here, we purchased that 10 acres of land out there. How many of you guys were here when that happened? A few of you guys. They bought that because there was a vision to see a bigger church. And you're like, well, we still have some seats available. Listen, if everybody were here and we only had one service, we wouldn't have enough seats for everybody. So we don't want a bigger building to say, ooh, we got a bigger building. We want to be more of an influence in our community. Amen? And so my prayer, I wanted to give you guys three things to pray for. I think I have it in your notes. I can't remember. Three things to pray for Freedom Church. Pray for the pastors. How many of you know we need that? All right? I know physically we don't have the hardest job in the world. Mentally, there's other things. The enemy is after pastors. Do you realize that? How many of you know you watch media or news long enough, you'll see this pastor fell and this pastor fell and this pastor stopped and all of, I don't want to be a casualty. So I want to tell you, I value, I know that we value your prayer. So pray for your pastors. But secondly, pray for a building. And let me just say, either God come and drop some money that we could build a building, and we know that that's a lot, but we serve a God that's got a lot more, or God opens up another place on a building that's already built. How many of you know that's cheaper? And we've been talking about it, but I was like, I haven't really said, hey, listen, guys, let's begin to pray for that. How many of you know as we pray, God can do the impossible, amen? And in the process of that, how many of you know we're still trying to pay off this building? And I believe that there's an aspect of us being faithful with what we have before God gives us something else. Does that make sense? And so we're still quite a ways from our goal. We've only got about 6 weeks, and then we're going to end the good campaign. I just want to challenge you guys. It might be a sacrifice. It might be uncomfortable, but I want to tell you God will bless your uncomfort. Think about giving into that thing. And if you didn't know, anything given up until March 2nd is going to be doubled. So I was doing the numbers. Every $1,600 knocks off $200 a year in interest. Amen? So even if it doesn't get paid off, it'll get paid off quicker. Amen? The third thing to pray for is people. And everybody look around. That's all of you. I don't know if you realize it, but we pray for you guys on a regular basis. The things that we pray, I pray God's favor over you guys. We pray God's fruit in your life, that God will bless you. That's something that we pray. Lord God, bless the people at Freedom Church. There's so many different times that we call out people by name to the Lord. And let me tell you, if you're here, your name is being called out to the Lord. I want you to know that. And that whatever you do, that God will bless it. Amen? So those are things to pray for. Let me go to the next prayer number three. Let your hand be with me. That's what Jabez is praying. Lord, increase my bless me, increase my territory, and let your hand be with me. What is that all about? That's about the presence of the Lord. Like God, here's the thing. In Scripture, when you see the hand of the Lord, it's synonymous with the presence of the Lord. And what a lot of people don't get, it's like, I'm not coming to church just to, I could do a sermon without the presence of the Lord. Do you guys realize that? I can study the Scripture. I can give you a 3-point sermon with illustrations and all of that. And I can do all of that without the Lord. And it's like, well, how can you do that? Because there's certain things that we can accomplish on our own. We don't have to have God. Even, you know, think about Abraham. Abraham, God told Abraham, you guys go ahead and go into the promised land. I'm not coming with you. You know what Abraham said? Unless you go, I'm not going to go. They could have gone into the promised land. They could have entered it. But let me tell you, it wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have been the blessings. And so having the presence of the Lord in your life, even when I share, otherwise I'm just talking. There's a lot of intellectual sermons that you can go to anywhere around this community, in this world. There's a, oh yeah, man, he's such a great speaker. I want the presence of the Lord to be here. Because when the Holy Spirit is here, it's not just my words. How many of you know it's the words beneath my words? Amen. It's like, I've had people come up and say, wow, when you said this, that, and everything, God really touched me. And I'm like, I don't remember saying that, right? I think you might have been hearing God at that point right there, because that was God saying that. Whatever it is that we do, I love this out of Acts chapter 11. It says, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks. Let me tell you, these are Jews going to speak to Greeks. How many of you know that is them stepping out of their comfort zone? This is not comfortable. We don't do this on a regular basis. It's not supposed to. But as they did that, let me tell you, that part of their brain got activated. And they started like, increase our territory, Lord. I don't know if they were praying that or not, but they began to speak, and it says, telling them the good news about the Lord. And check it out, the Lord's hand, his presence was with them. The presence of God was with them. And look at the result of it. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. How many of you see that? When I begin to pray your blessing, God, when I begin to say expand my territory and I step out of comfort zones and God's presence goes with me, people are added to the kingdom of God. How many of you know we don't want to be a church that doesn't have the presence of God? If it does, let's just, you know, let's roast hamburgers and hot dogs and just have a fellowship time. No, we need the presence of God. When I think about Zerubbabel in the Bible, like, who in the world is that? Too long of a name. He was the one that God commissioned to rebuild the temple. After it got wiped out by Babylon, there was nothing but ruins that were there. And he went back and he saw all the devastation. He saw all of that. And it was like too big of a task. Like, oh God, what did you send me here to do? This is too much. But I love what it says in Zechariah 4:6. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So God gave him a word. You may think it's too big. You may think it's too big of a task. But he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So what he's saying to him, hey, listen, you're not going to rebuild this temple by your own might and your own strength. You're not going to do the task by your own power. I don't care how many people you hire. The only way you're going to complete it is by my presence, by my spirit being with you. Amen. How many of you know when we can grasp that, it is okay to declare that over your life this year? Lord, I need your presence in my life. Lord, I need wherever I go, whatever I do, Lord, would you go with me? Because if you're not going to go, I want to be just like Abraham. I'm not going. Lord, if you want me to do something, if there was a building and it's like, oh, and the money's there, and I'm like, Lord, if it's your will, if you want us to do that, then Lord, your spirit's got to go with us. Amen. We've got to do it. Whatever God wants you to do, you need to call upon the Lord. And listen, I'm not saying you can't accomplish things by your own might and power. Of course you can. People do that all the time. But I do want to say that whatever you do apart from the Spirit of God is going to pale in comparison to what if you had the presence of God with you. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Here's the purpose on our lives cannot be fulfilled without the presence in our life. Amen? There's no other way around it. And you know, last week I talked about the Lord's Prayer. If you didn't hear it, I want to encourage you to go back, listen how the Lord's Prayer, it's amazing how many parts of the Lord's Prayer aligns with Jabez's prayer. And that was before Jesus ever gave it. But there's a part of the Lord's Prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread, right? And I got some bread. Where did I put it? Got me a nice loaf of bread. Any of you guys fasting carbs right now? No? It's right over there. Here's the thing about the bread, because I've been thinking about it all week. There's a verse where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. How many of you guys remember that? I'm the bread of life. Well, what is Jesus talking about right there? You have to kind of go back to the Old Testament to see what he's talking about, because when the temple was built, when all the furnishings were built, the different offerings they were offering, how many of you know everything points to Jesus? Jesus even said, he's like, you're searching the scriptures because you think that you're going to have eternal life, but the scriptures all point to him. And so there was a thing that was in the temple that had to be offered, and it had to be there the whole time. And it was called the bread of his presence. Exodus 25 says, put the bread of his presence on this table to be before me. How often? At all times. And so you notice it's a capital P right there. Now, it's not just talking about put bread out there. Yeah, it's sustenance, right? And that represents Christ. That was pointing something to Christ, that you've got to have his presence at all times. Like when they offered bulls and goats and all of that stuff, they did it, and it didn't stay there. I mean, that would be pretty nasty if you had that up there for a week. As a matter of fact, David and his companions, when they were running from Saul, they went to the temple, and they needed food, and guess what food they got? They got the bread that was on the table that was called the bread of his presence. And you could really explore this subject a whole lot more than I'm touching on today. But it's like, as he was running, trying to follow God, he stopped by and got some of the presence with him. Amen. And it wasn't just nourishing his body. I believe it was nourishing his spirit. And so Jesus, when we're saying, God, I want your presence, he is that bread. He is that sustenance for our life that we need at all times. And let me just say, this isn't just for pastors. This is for parents, right? This is for business owners. You can do a lot of things in life, but if you don't have the presence of God, like I said, it's always, you can accomplish, but it will never be the same. Real quick here, Exodus chapter 31. I thought this was great. The Lord said to Moses, and so God is giving Moses how to build the temple, all the furnishings, and it says, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, there's a name you can use if you want, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him, look at this, because he was filled, great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of craft. Now here's the thing, he was probably already a craftsman. But he wasn't that good of a craftsman. He wasn't that good of a craftsman. Look what it goes on to say. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, bronze, skilled in engraving, mounting gemstones, carving wood. And it says he is a master at every craft. Nobody is a master at every craft without the Holy Spirit. Amen? Without the presence of God. God will make you a better version of who you are. He'll take who you are, and it's like when his blessing comes, you're even better. When his presence is in your life, and let me tell you, the disciples needed the presence of God. I mean, these are the guys that were with Jesus for 3 years, and it's like, okay, well, I had 3 years of Jesus, I'm good. No, they still, after Jesus was gone, they still needed him. Look what the scripture says. And the disciples, they were what? Continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They needed his presence on a regular basis, amen? And we sang a song earlier. We're going to sing the rest of it earlier, but there's a verse in it that I've been pondering all week long. It says, your presence is an open door. What in the world does that mean? When God's presence is there, how many of you know there's no door that the world can shut on you? God, open this door. The door is open because the presence of the Lord is there, amen? And it says, we want you, Lord, like never before. So listen, I want to encourage you. This is a prayer I pray a lot. God, I need you. And we were singing that this morning. I didn't even tell Pastor Timothy what the whole message was about. He knew it was a prayer of Jabez, but it's like he heard from the Lord, and we're singing these songs. Lord, I need you more than the air I breathe. I'm like, but I need air pretty good, don't you? I kind of need my heartbeat too. But you know what? The reality is you actually don't. Because that once we depart from this world, you don't need the air, you don't need your heartbeat, you just need Jesus. Amen? Amen? So let me move on, last one real quick. Number four, he says, pray, keep me from harm. This is about protection in our life. Listen, if you didn't know it, if you thought it was, you know, there's a real devil out there. How many of you guys realize that? He doesn't have the red horns and the tail and the pitchfork. That's cartoons, right? That's not real. But we have a real enemy that is out there. And I don't know if you realize that he wants to take you out. Bible says that he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And not only do we have a real enemy, how many of you know you and I got a real flesh and real temptations that we deal with? Anybody like, oh, no temptations. Just me and God. We're so good. That doesn't tempt me. If that's the truth, then pride is all over you. All of us have temptations. All of us have an enemy. All of us, and it's like the only way, and this is interesting how this lines up with the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not in temptation, but deliver me from evil, right? And as human beings, we can be easily destroyed because sin is real, our flesh is real, and temptation is real. We can be easily destroyed. And so let me tell you, many times, I can't tell you how many times, I often pray for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. You're going to go into a situation, Lord, help me, give me wisdom with the things that I deal with. Lord, I don't want to walk in that temptation. I don't want to fall to that temptation. And one of the things the Lord has shown me over the years, a characteristic of wisdom, is learning to win fights by avoiding them altogether. Does that make sense? If you're really battling your weight and you say, I'm just going to the donut shop for the coffee, I'm just there for the coffee. It's so good, right? Yeah. How many of you know? Or let me just get a little bit real here, because I remember when a certain restaurant where the girls dressed a little not decent, and people would say, the men would say, I'm not there for that. They just have good wings. They just have good wings. Or I only get that magazine because of the articles. How many of you guys, you heard that, right? It's like, wisdom is learning to win fights by avoiding them altogether. Don't allow those things into your life. It's not, you know, if we compromise, let me tell you, you're going to fall. And the scripture says this, I love Psalms 27. Lord, teach me your ways, lead me in a straight path. Why? Because my oppressors. My oppressors could be my flesh, could be the enemy, could be whatever. And so what's David crying out? Lord, help me to walk a straight line. Because there are oppressors that want to pull me to the left and the right. And so isn't that a good prayer to pray? Lord, lead me not into temptation. Help me to begin to follow you. And so this prayer of Jabez that he cried out, you know, you might think, well, why didn't God just do all that stuff for him before he prayed that? Why didn't God do all of that? Why do we even have to pray? I've had people ask, why do I got to pray? God knows what I need. Why do I got to pray? I know he says, you know, you have not because you ask not. Well, why do I have to ask when God already knows? How many of you think God doesn't know? Like if your engine blows up and you have four flat tires, do you think God is unaware of that? You come to God, God, my engine blew up with four flat tires. And God's like, what? How did that happen? When did that happen? Right? No, God knows all of our needs. But why do we need to pray? And this has kind of been the theme of this whole series that we're talking about, that prayer, it's not about the request, it's about relationship. Amen? So when you come to God with your problems, your challenges, you're building that relationship. When you're asking God, God, I just want your blessing. Listen, if you don't pray that, then you will never hear God tell you the areas that you've got to adjust in your life. Oh, you need to fix this. Yeah, that attitude you had, not good. And so we are building relationship. Listen, Jabez knew, I'm going to pray because it's the only way I'm going to experience the blessings. It's the only way that I'm going to draw closer to him. It's the only way that I'm going to get my life. And worship team, you guys can come up. It's the only way that I'm going to experience really what we call this blessed life. And so I want to challenge you. I mean, if you walk away with anything, walk away with this desire. God, I want that blessed life. Not that I can pat myself on the back and say, hey, I'm too blessed to be stressed, right? Not that you can be boastful about the things that God has done in your life, but that you can become who God has called you to be. Amen? That you can become the person that your territory is being enlarged. And guess what? There are souls being rescued from the flames of hell because you chose to live a blessed life. Because you chose to allow God to stretch you beyond what you're comfortable doing. When you do that, let me tell you, your life will begin to affect other people's lives. When you carry the presence of God with you, you're not like, oh man, he's just so holy. No, people feel the conviction and they are drawn to you. The other view of it is like, oh, I'm so holy. That's repulsive to people when you start faking that. Amen? But the real presence of God, how many of you know Jesus never struggled getting a crowd? Why? Because they felt the love, they felt the genuineness of it. And I believe as a believer, as a follower of Christ, when you truly carry the presence of God, people sense that and they want it. Amen? Because you've got incredible peace on your life. You've got this joy that it's like, well, how do you have all that joy? Man, it's the peace of God. It's the presence of God in my life. And that's why, you know, part of this fasting and prayer time is like, God, I just want more of your presence. Your presence is that open door that opens things before me, that opens pathways before me. And so my encouragement for you today is, hey, listen, take this. Make that a part of your prayer time. Even if it's like, you know, okay, God bless me. Lord, bless my family. Bless my business. Bless my finances. Whatever it may be. But I want to tell you, turn your ear to him and begin to listen to him. Okay, God, what do I need to do to walk in that blessing? What are the things that how many of you know, it's not like, oh, well, you know what, that applies to other people, but not to me. Oh, no, if it applies to one person, it applies to all of us. And so we need to align ourselves and begin to look for those opportunities where God's going to stretch you. Amen? If he tells you to get out of the boat and walk on water, you might do it shaking, but do it anyway. Amen? I don't know. I don't think Peter, okay, I'm getting sidetracked here. I don't think he just like jumped out of the boat. Sure, I'm going to do this. I just wonder if there was a little like, you know, let me test that water first, Lord. I don't know. We weren't there. I'm just speculating here. But sometimes I've heard somebody say, listen, do it. But even if you have to do it scared. I remember when we really got challenged in the area of tithing. Oh my gosh, we were scared. It says God loves a cheerful giver, but we were a scared giver. We're like, okay, God, you know what we need. But man, I'll tell you what. We did it even though our mind said that's the stupidest thing because that's all the money you had. Let me tell you, it activated that part of my brain. And God allowed us to begin taking bigger steps of faith in other areas of our life. So I don't know where it is that God's going to challenge you, but it's okay to pray that. Sorry, I could keep going on. I want to encourage you to sing this song and sing it and begin to ask God for his presence. Amen.